This week on Not Just Another Sex Podcast.
For me to even come to him with this was shocking. I wasn't afraid that he was going to be upset with me bringing it up. And it was just basically like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to explore. And how do you feel about that? And then we kind of jump straight in head first.
I want to hear both sides. Come on. What's your side?
Yeah, don't stop. Don't talk. Don't talk. Now, my version is not the version that my wife tells. And at some point, we are going to agree and come together on this story.
On y'all podcast. We'll have
to right.
So at some point, she's going to be like, okay, that's what happened. We came to Polly through conflict.
Okay.
And I don't know why my wife refuses to address this point.
I don't remember it this way.
Hey, sugar. You're listening to Not Just Another Sex Podcast. I'm your host, Samaya Burton. I've been a hands-on sexual educator for over 5 years through my company, Sexual Essentials. So I can tell you that being an adult absolutely has its perks. But now let's talk about just how hard adulting really is. Whether you're healing trauma, building healthy relationships, or figuring out how to create your own happiness, the truth is you may feel like you don't know what you're doing. But you're here now, and that's enough.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back to Not Just Another Sex Podcast. My name is Samaya, and I'm your host. And before we get into today's amazing episode, I'm going to start off with a review, per usual. This one is from Bree. I don't want to mess up the name. Let's just say Bree Alakazam, because it's somewhere in there. Anyways, you say, one of my favorite podcasts. Samaya, I love your podcast and I love your story. I don't know you and I'm proud of you. Your growth and emotional healing journey is so inspiring. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate when you guys just take a moment to drop a review. Believe it or not, we are running out of some to read. So please, if you have not and you're listening right now, this not for someone else to do it, you that's listening right now, please rate and review the podcast. It means more than you realize. I'm a person. And so getting up here, sharing all my business, all my mistakes, and being open to that type of criticism from you guys is sometimes difficult. And just being able to tap in and hear how you guys are feeling, like firsthand, or telling me that you're proud of me, lets me know that it's all worth it and that I'm doing it for the bigger picture. So it costs $0.00 to listen to the show. So please just rate and review. It means way more than you could ever realize. So today's episode is going to be amazing. We have a reoccurring guest plus another. Yeah.
Yes.
If you guys don't remember, we have Miss Mickey Bay and we have her husband with her today, Raheem. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. We had a girls' night.
Right.
Without you.
I heard about it.
The other night, we were looking good, too. We had on our heels.
And what happened today? Boots. What happened today? We talked about this earlier. So what happened
when I showed up? We were matching your energy.
Right.
You were comfortable. So mm-hmm. We was comfortable. Okay. We got you some mimosas. So everybody comfortable.
I'll have to accept
that. I got my ginger beer, mm-hmm. You know, and we're going to have a great episode.
We are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they are the Poly Couple Next Door is their brand. And Mickey was on and we were talking about her experience with navigating being asexual, her being a relationship coach and the profession of like emotionally regulating and mm-hmm. different things like that and other tools that have come up that have made her uniquely qualified for this life that she's been living. Mm-hmm. But I'm super excited because this all originally started because I wanted both of them on the show. And now we're here.
Yes.
So you're new. So we're going to walk you through how we do things.
All right.
Okay. All right. You lit? You good?
I'm a little tipsy.
Okay. Like,
Things are happening.
You're very generous.
My filter is slowly.
It's coming down. All right. Yeah. Good. We timed it right. Okay. So we always start off the show with the adult tip of the day. The adult tip of the day is pretty much because you look up and one day you're like, oh, shit, I'm a grown up. If something goes wrong in this room, they're going to look at me. If people need advice, they're looking at me. And adulting is hard. So we break it down with just like, whether it's like my therapist says or like a life hack, get you a cleaner, like whatever it is. And it varies. So today's adult tip of the day is from Nikia Homer. And it says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but your this is better than nothing mindset is keeping you from experiencing better. Settling is never the better option. Mm. And I really love that. I love that. And I also think that it applies especially to this episode because a lot of times we don't speak up or say our truth because it's like, well, I got a great partner. That's enough. You know what I mean? And we don't want to mess that up or interfere with it. And so we bite our tongue or we don't tell the truth. So what's you all's take?
It's interesting. It's the whole it could be worse theory where you're thinking about, you know, as opposed to how good it can be, you settle into it could be worse. Like, I'm okay at this point where I am because it could be worse. I could be less than. I could have less. And, you know, if you're a believer like I am and we try to be, we're thinking about how good it can be as opposed to how bad it could be. So, you know, trying to stay out that middle ground is something that I try to focus on.
And I don't believe in settling at all, you know, so I agree. I think sometimes you want to take the bird in hand, as the old people would say, right? Like the, y'all know that saying?
I've never heard that way.
Okay. Well, maybe by just country ass people. You take the bird in the hand instead of the bird in the bush.
Okay.
That's okay.
A bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush.
Oh.
Is the same.
Okay. You got it, baby.
Well,
I just want to make sure you're right.
Thank you. It's important not to settle.
Keep it tight.
No, but I really think it's about, as cliche as it sounds, to know you're worth more than settling, right? And I think in this day and age, there's a little bit of confusion about what settling is because we have all this stuff on social media and you're looking at, you know, what relationship goals are. And it can make you think that your good thing is not as good as it is, right? Yeah. And so just really being confident in what you and your partner have and just checking in with them and just making sure neither one of you feel like you're settling.
Yeah. I think that when we get into a certain type of relationship, it's very easy to think that, well, this fits the constraints, like the 80-20 rule almost. Mm-hmm. And I don't really believe in the 80-20 rule because, like, if you give me 80% what I need, then okay, that's your max. I'm going to go and get, like, I want 100% of the things that I want, and I want that before anyone else comes into the picture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I'm not really trying to hear this whole this is better than nothing shit because, yeah, miss me with it.
Yeah.
One life
I'd rather
to live.
Be by myself.
Yeah. Because by myself, I'm going to get it all.
Exactly.
That. There you go. All right. So then the next segment is Twitter Talk, and this is to pay homage to really Black Twitter and the culture and what... And the doorbell. this is to pay homage to that because everywhere that you go, things are going viral with Black Twitter, even though it's not even called Twitter anymore. And it's just like the way that we really make our imprint with things going on in the world. So this one comes from a polyphilia blog.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. It says, I used to see monogamy and polyamory as opposite ends on a spectrum. But as time goes on, I'm starting to believe that in many ways, healthy, consciously chosen relationships end up looking very similar, whether they're monogamous or polyamorous. Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's the way I think of polyamory is just, it's just how I choose to love. It doesn't really change like how I'm interacting with my partners.
Yeah, I think anything that's there is already gonna be there. It's gonna be magnified.
Exactly.
It's so crazy because a lot of people think that, you know, polyamorous people are having way more sex or they're having way more partners. And I feel like when you're dating with integrity, period, just as difficult it is to find one partner, think about how hard it is to find two.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm very big on the integrity part because whoever I choose to be with, whoever you're choosing to be with outside of me still has to not embarrass me.
Right.
Like, you know, the standards are still there. And also it's like all of us are connected, not only like sexually in a certain way, but I mean, I'm the shit. So like you need to date other women. That's the shit. Like,
right. You don't want them to be like.
Like, oh, she a baddie. Good for you. Like, keep it going. Like, make us look good, you know? But.
I've been drinking. But there is a very fine line between monogamous relationships, polyamorous relationships, and
thinking about it in a way where it there's no difference. You're just choosing that you want to love more than one person. But the, like you said, the struggles are the same. The successes are the same. It's just different. It's just different than what we were raised in, right? It's different than the culture that we're raised in, this Western culture. But the struggles are the same and the wins are the same. So yeah, you want to have the same type of integrity. The rules aren't much different. You know what I mean? Especially if you have separate relationships. Yeah. In essence, I mean, each relationship is monogamous in itself. So you're still treating that relationship as a one-on-one thing. Even if you have 10 other relationships, each relationship is a singular, like a one thing, right? So there is no difference in it, right? It's just more, like I always say, it's just more complex. We've added this complexity to our life. Whereas, you know, you're dealing with one person. It's like, all right, I know this one person. I can go with this certain flow, but now I got another person. So now I gotta balance schedules and balance energies and, you know, make sure everybody's getting the attention that I want to give and receive. So, but there is no, I mean, it's not like witchcraft. It's like, it's not this other thing. Yeah. It's just a, like you said, it's a love choice. Like, but it's not, you know, people look at it like it's this totally different way of living and understanding. And it's not, it's just a shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's crazy is, I guess, on a level, it is different. It is more honest. It is more authentic. It is more growth. There is more accountability. I found that it's different in that way. I've seen more when people are doing it correctly, but just like dating on any
caveat,
level.
When it's done properly,
I've found that it's more of those things, the things that actually create more intimacy, more trust. And I've even found that there are couples that are monogamous, but technically, they say that they are polyamorous, even though they choose to only do a one-on-one relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And having that idea that you always have the option to change changes the entire relationship. Because the truth is that in this moment today, if I choose to marry you or be with you, what I'm saying today is true. Mm-hmm. But also, some of these changes, it's not like it gives me a heads up like, oh, by the way, you're not going to like this in a few years. Like, it doesn't tell me that. And I feel like it's my job to commit to you. I'm committing to loving you as you change and develop, as long as this makes us happy. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to do it as long as this makes us happy. If it doesn't make us happy, that is not what I desire for you. There's a level of, I guess, compersion, where it's like, if my partner is happy, that's a thing for me, you know? So like even balancing some of the odd, you know, emotions that come up, such as jealousy or things like that, being able to see your partner be good and be happy and be fulfilled, it's almost like using toys in the bedroom. They'd be like, oh, well, I didn't do that. If you gave her the orgasm, you did it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if your partner goes out and has a great date, at the end of the day, they're still coming home and they're about to love on you. They're so happy that they got to be free, that it wasn't awkward. It wasn't like they didn't come home, you harp, and they're like, oh, I know you coming in late. I saved you something, like, you know, whatever. Just knowing that it was okay and that, like, they didn't remove their love from you. Like, those kind of things are going to bring you closer. Like, it's, you're not blocking them from anything that makes them happy.
Right. I think the major thing, the major difference to me is the transparency. Mm-hmm. Is that regardless, I know what he is doing, who he is with, and vice versa, right? And so having that transparency on the table, like, this is what I'm doing, this is where I am, there's no secrets from that perspective. There are a lot of monogamous relationships that cannot say that.
Yeah.
Right. That you know exactly what's going on with whom, when, all that kind of thing. So that gives me a level of comfort. And whether I am actively polyamorous or not, if I decide to be monogamous to my husband, I'm still going to be polyamorous in my how I feel and my like ideology, because I just believe in people having autonomy and personal freedom.
Okay. So let's start off today's topic with, if you guys have not heard Mickey's episode, make sure you do that, because we cannot rehash out all the things.
That's true.
Okay. So y'all gonna have to catch up. But in a synopsis, can you let everyone know kind of like how you guys got into the polyamorous lifestyle and what led you guys to that? And then I want us to talk about things that should not be polyamorous, so that you guys know the difference. Because if your man won't stop cheating, that's not, like, this isn't necessarily the best option. It might need to be an option, but other things. So I want to talk about how you guys got into it, because it is very, I'm polyamorous because I just was always a lover girl. But you all story is different, so.
Yeah, I mean, I will give the disclaimer that we remember this differently. But my version is really that I was just struggling with my sexuality. And I knew that this was not going to be sustainable with us not having the frequency of sex that he really preferred. And I asked him, like, is this something that we could think about do it. He said yes immediately. And then we kind of, and I should say at that time, I was very traditional, like very traditional. I was religious. And for me to even come to him with this was shocking. But I think he also, because we had had communication and we're able to talk to each other. And so I wasn't afraid that he was going to be upset with me bringing it up. And it was just basically like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to explore. And how do you feel about that? And then we kind of jump straight in head first.
I want to hear both sides. Come on. What's your side?
Listen, we came to poly. Well, we did have a bunch of conversations we were having conversations about traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. At that point, we were married 3 years. Just over 3 years. We were living up north, we were living in Delaware, and we just kept coming to these questions about what traditional marriage meant, what monogamy meant, and why hasn't traditional marriage changed in hundreds of years? Like, why has everything around us changed but what marriage means, right? So you notice the whole contractual element of it, but we're having all these conversations, and we would always say, she would say something, and I repeat this a lot. So, she would say, you know, something nice would happen between us, and she would say something like, I can't wait for this to keep happening over the next 30 or 40, 50 years. And for me, that sounded so daunting. Like it felt so heavy.
It's heavy. Like, oh my God.
It felt so heavy. Like, of course we're committed to forever. Like, that's in the vows and all that, but it sounded like a lot. And she used to get mad at me. I'm just like, this feels like a long time. And we started deciding like, okay, let's make the decision every day as opposed to being so in the future about what we know is going to happen, right? Because we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. How do I know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to feel in 30 years, right? Yeah. So if we're choosing to be in the present, and that's what we all aim to do, if we're choosing to be in the present, let's just choose this every day. And of course, every day, you know, that's kind of magical. But I mean, just being in the present, like, let's just choose this, being intentional right now. Like, in the present moment. Don't talk. Now, my version is not the version that my wife tells. And at some point, we are going to agree and come together on the story.
On y'all podcast, we'll make that
right. Right. So at some point, she's going to be like, okay, that's what happened. We came to poly through conflict.
Okay.
And I don't know why, since I'm tipsy. I don't know why my wife refuses to address this point.
I don't remember it this way.
I feel that.
It's ridiculous.
You know what's so crazy is that sometimes it can be an incident that can push it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really change the fact that even without that incident, I was still here. And so I do understand both sides of it. I'm also not the best person to talk to, because I be understanding every side. I'm just a very empathetic, because I believe everybody. What you're telling me is your truth. It's absolutely your truth. Mm-hmm. I really loved you saying that choose this every day. I don't think it sounds magical. I think that's very real. And I think that we shy away from things that seem like, oh my God, here you go. You're going all deep. You're going all spiritual. It's not that serious. Everything is that serious to me. And how I came to being polyamorous is I didn't even know. I just always had a team. So it was like, I loved all my niggas equally.
I love it.
I did. And when I got married, I was like, oh shit, like I got to give up girls too. And so we talked about it. I mean, you know, you get quick yeses then. It's like, yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, we could do that. Mm-hmm. And so I introduced him to a lot of things to try to get all the things that I desire. But ultimately, that was not for him. But also, he wasn't for me either, which can be very confusing to people because it seems like, oh, this is what messed up your marriage. No, I think in the midst of us trying to like each other, he said yes to a lot of things. And I appreciate the attempt, but also realizing it's just not for him. And that was confusing for me because I am a very traditional person. Like, I jump out of planes and I teach dick sucking classes and shit like that. But I'm mad traditional. Right. Like, I want all my partners to come to Sunday dinner. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I can't make it, it's like, oh, let me call your girlfriend to see if she can make it because I can't make it to this. And I don't want to be everything to anybody. It's hard enough to be everything to myself. Right. And so I would rather deal with the emotions that are coming up of like possible jealousy or like, oh, we have to figure out how to communicate with this and those things, but it's more mentally stimulating. Mm-hmm. You know, it means more. And I feel like at the end of the day, I'm trying to catch the best nut. And the best nut is going to be when it's more intentional, it's more honest, it's more loving, it's more like, you know, yeah. I want those things. So, I dabble with couples. I love couples. And people are like, you know, that's crazy because couples be treacherous. They be treacherous out here. They be just doing this terrible because sometimes their relationship isn't right and they're not honest about what's not right about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like polyamory and ethical non-monogamy and dating couples and all these different things, it's a lot of three-way mirrors. And I've never grown faster than when more than two people are relating because the thing that you get away with behind closed doors compared to when someone else is watching. And also, sometimes we don't trust our partner. Like, they're the person we're the meanest to, the person that we see every single day. Mm-hmm. And so somebody else saying, like, oh, you do this. And it's like, oh, my gosh, my husband's been saying this for 20 years. Like, maybe it's true,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I don't know. Maybe that's the trauma in me. Like, I always romanticized the love. I thought my parents were in love. And clearly they are. They're still together. But it was more so them, the terrible things they were doing to us as children for that love. And so I think that it's watching couples that are actually in love is a thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's attractive. Like, I have no desire to be with a man that don't love his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because if you don't love her, you damn sure ain't gonna love me.
That part.
You know? Yep. And that's kind of how I got into these things. But so what does you all's structure look like trying to find? And I know people poly in different ways. I know I'm a main partner poly person. I want one person to share like my finances with and hopefully to plan on having, like I don't plan on having children with multiple people type thing, but sharing a house. So I don't necessarily need everybody together in one house compound. Maybe same land, same house. No.
Same block.
Same block, you know, things like that. But I like to share the main bulk of everything with one person and then understand the roles of the other people in my life. Because like I said, I know 100% of what I want. So after certain spots, certain things are taken. I don't desire that anymore. That part's already taken, you know?
Yeah.
So what is you all's approach to your setup or your, setup?
So right now we are primary, you know, nesting partners. But like, I think for us, we're always open to it changing and moving. And because we don't know what's going to happen, there may be a time where he comes to me and says, I think we should have one of my partners move in or something like that. And it's, to me, it's all on the table. It's about us communicating what's best for the unit. But as of right now, we're just with each other financially and all of that kind of stuff.
How many partners do you guys have?
I have one.
Maybe one. I mean, I don't really, you know, I just started
seeing. You didn't write a note? Like, do you want to go out with me? Yes or no? Check maybe box? You didn't.
I guess I'm not, you know, super partnered up, but I've been dating. I've been dating. I had some partners. I mean,
you exactly. know,
you've been fucking. What? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Not as much as I like. It's the ebb and flow, right? It's the ebb and flow. I'm in kind of an ebb right now. I mean, I've had. There's been times when I've had a team. We call it a terrarium.
Yeah.
But I am not that person at the moment. But we date separately. But I'm not like super, super duper committed to anybody else yet.
Okay. How does routine play a part in like routine and scheduling and the discipline of dating? because even with when you're by yourself and you start dating someone else, the thing that we're trying to realize as we get older is we don't want to lose ourselves in that person. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, let me make sure I get my workout time alone, or let me get this girl time in and things like that. But I don't know which one of you is the more structured, but for the one that
I'm organized, fun. I'm a Virgo, and I'm very, very big on
scheduling.
Okay.
I want to see it on the schedule. Like, I'm okay.
Is it on the calendar?
It's not so much routine, but just some order. I do like it to be ordered.
There is nothing wrong with organized fun, Raheem.
No. I know. I'm fine with it. I mean, routine. I mean, that has a negative connotation in my head. I want organization. If you're going out, all good.
Put it on the calendar.
Put it on the calendar. Because I'm going to do that, right? So it's about the reciprocation of that to make sure that, okay, because we have a son at home. It would be different if we didn't have a kid, but we have a son at home and we got to figure that whole thing out. We don't want to do babysitters all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put it on the calendar, right? You confirm and you check in. Are you doing anything on Tuesday? Yeah. No. I think I'm going to go out. Or are you cool with me going out? Or what's your night looking like? Like, she's working more nights and I'm working more days. So we just we have to just kind of figure out the schedule. But I am very big on calendar. I'm very big on calendar and talking it out.
Okay.
I am a homebody. So
I'm lucky in that.
Nine times out of 10, I'm going to be at home. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I, we typically see each other in the daytime, just because it works out better for both of our schedules and we're entrepreneurs, so we can do that. But yeah, I'm most likely going to be in the bed by 8. Mm-hmm. So we can go out.
Bye. Bring me back a snack.
See ya. I'm pretty nice and warm and toasty.
And that works for me. That works for me.
I'll bring you back a snack. Because you go out, please bring me some food back.
Stop that. Yeah.
So what do you guys look for when it comes to your partner? And then what are the things that you really love that are fulfilled in your main relationship?
You go first.
Oh. You know, I have been attracted to a wide variety since I have been poly. I would say previously I dated kind of, if you put them all in a room, they would look like brothers, like the same type of guy, almost to the T. And in poly, I've been much more open-minded and just really looking for that spiritual and mental connection, and have dated a plethora of people that I would not even think we would know the same people or like the same things. And it has been so enriching. So I wouldn't say that there's any list that I'm looking for. I'm a energy chemistry type of person. Like I don't usually make my decision on the apps, like about how you look. I'm more so about how is the conversation? Is this someone I think is interesting? And then if I go on a first date with you and it's just like crickets, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I'm very, like, I need that connection piece.
What do you appreciate the most from your husband?
I appreciate the most from him that he is very reliable. And that's something I never had. Hmm. The support that he gives me is unmatched. He is the only person I've ever been with that I really genuinely felt did not need to or want to compete with me in any way. That's and true. Really allows me to be who I am in my fullness without making that mean anything about who he is or who he isn't.
It's so crazy because your man could fuck around and be your biggest hater.
Oh, okay.
biggest hater.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
I think women are definitely on this thing where they're exploring more of like being all of who they are and who they're even allowing themselves to be, like not even talking about a partner, just some of the things that I like scare the shit out of me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so like just giving yourself the permission and having a partner that allows you to do that sounds life changing.
Exactly.
It's your turn.
So I am a master manifester.
Okay. Talk about it.
There was a time, and we joke about this, a year and a half ago, maybe, I manifested the woman. I said she needs to be around my age. I typically like older women. If she had kids, she could get rid of them kids at some point so I could come through.
That's real. Right.
Polly. Be Polly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
have all the partners you want, but no nested partner, because I want to come through. Mm-hmm. Even though that's possible, but I want you to be empty. I don't want you to have no nested partner. And fairly close to in proximity.
In Atlanta, that matters.
Yeah.
And it matters. At this big age, it really matters. Because really I don't want to travel. Even if it ain't that far, I'm like, damn, I don't want 20 minutes. God damn. So she was my age.
Okay.
Got rid of kids on the weekends. Thursday to Sunday, no kids. Was Polly. No nested partner, and had her own crib and lived 9 minutes away.
What you manifesting this year? 2024 right, coming. Right.
This is my point. What I did not manifest is the energy of our relationship, how I wanted to feel, which was really the most important thing. Like, I'll travel an hour if the feeling is amazing.
If it'll get me back home.
Right, right.
But this is, I had to learn that. I had to go through the fact that, okay, I got to be super specific. Mm-hmm. Or I at least got to start with what I really want. Not just kind of, and thinking back, the things that I said with that partner were superficial in my needs and wants. Like, some of the
they
things
fit
are
your
like,
schedule.
Yeah, it fit my schedule, and it was convenient, right? So I learned that, okay, if I'm going to do this at this big age with all these big responsibilities, I gotta dive in more, because I spent a year in that relationship. Yeah. It wasn't a bad relationship, but it turned out to not be the feeling that I wanted. It wasn't. It was just super convenient. Right? I mean, literally 9 minutes door to door. You know what I'm saying? And all the other things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now my manifestation is about the feeling. Like, feeling good. Like, somebody's Polly, right? Somebody that could teach me something. Like, we stepped into this space of like doing podcasts and like educating. And I was attracting recently divorced women. Like, recently, like within the last year. Okay. New to Polly. Mm-hmm. Right, like brand new, like within the year, new to Polly. So I always found myself in this space of like, oh, that ain't Polly. Yeah. Or, you sure you want to do that? Yeah. That ain't ethical. Yeah. Like, I was always in this space of like teaching and like trying to break down terms to people.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, and at first it was kind of cool. It was like, all right, I'm teaching people. But then it was like, hey, what this mean? I'm just like,
it feels good to be listened to, for sure, and believed. But then, like, there's a certain part where you can't reciprocate any of things because I have to teach you every single thing.
And then I wanted to learn. I wanted to, like, you know, we've been in it for almost 4 years, and we've been diving deep because we've been trying to teach people and we're coaching people. But I still want to learn something. Like, I still want to be put on.
Be challenged.
You know, I want the challenge of it. And I found that even I've had loving relationships, I didn't find the challenge and the overall challenge that I wanted from those relationships. So my new manifestation is some of the old stuff, but the new stuff is like, all right, I want to feel the love, you know, that I'm going to, you know, just overall feel that love. Be taught and challenged, not have to explain, you know, elementary poly terms to people, you know, somebody who's just not fresh off of divorce heartbreak. And when I say attracted divorcees, I mean, not even like two or three, like five, six, like many, many divorced women. Not that I, you know, maybe, you know, had sexual relationships with, but just in the atmosphere, dating apps. Just got divorced. Yeah. Like, it was just always divorced. I mean, 10, 20 women, everybody's divorced.
All right, I'm divorced. You know what I'm
saying? It's nothing wrong with divorce. It's just that I was attracting these women that was just like fresh, like 5 years. And okay, what's Polly? I'll try it.
Yeah. I think that when you're in a space where you are getting on these shows and things like that, like, that's all people know. So trying to find a community of your own where you're just in the community is different. I've found that I don't necessarily care for a lot of the sex spaces or the poly spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's not to be rude, but it's just, I never seek out dating someone because they're poly.
Right.
I'm just like good people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's never been like, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't going to like no poly. Like, I'm not holding a picket sign for being poly. Like, I just am. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's almost like when you're like bisexual, it's like, I'm not like,
waving flag.
I am. It's just like, do we vibe? Like, I'll ask anybody, like, if, oh, like, you eat pussy? Like, I, it doesn't matter really if you're gay, because if you get with me, then you
then
are.
That's what matters.
So I'm not necessarily looking to go in a poly space and look for someone to date. I'm looking to date a man, and I'm like, oh, he's fine. Like the normal things, that way we can, that way I don't have to focus on like them fitting a mold, because at the end of the day, people change. That might not be your mold after you meet me. It might be. So
I have not had luck with that. So I've been really fortunate that I've met poly men like pretty easily. But when I did try to date men who were not non-monogamous ethically, it always came down to a pissing contest. They wanted to compete with him. And I'm just like, this is not up for debate. Like, this is where I'm at. I'm just my man. We're going to be here, right? Like, this is not, it's not either or. It's an and. And if you cannot get on board with that, this is not going to work. So when we were newly poly, I was dating someone who I really, really liked. And he had a cardinal sin. One night we were out and he was like, well, what if I'm better for you than he is? And I said, you might be. And I'm still going to be over here. So it's because it's not about that. It's not about if you're better for me. There are probably thousands of people who might be.
You're compatible with a lot of
people. Right,
right. So, he's like, I ain't trying to do that shit. No.
What?
They can't hit. I heard that.
Thousands.
I mean, there's billions of people in the world.
Silly.
There's still,
you know, Virgos think they rule the world.
Oh my God. This one.
I find that what I don't like is that when I'm dating someone, I tell them I'm poly. If you change where you stand because of where I stand, that's odd to me. That's not really your truth. Because I don't care if you're poly or not. I might not be in a space of dating. Like, I'm busy right now. The content house and production, my days be long.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if it's not worth it, I'm not doing it. So if you say like, oh, I'm not dating right now, and then I start dating and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I got to go out and find something to do too. I need you living in your truth, regardless of what I'm doing. Yeah. To me, that sounds like a mental mind game. I'm not with the games. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have time. I need you to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I end up attracting a lot of monogamous men. And it's like, this is really great, but it does not change the fact that I am who I am. And it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's going to make me better for you, because otherwise I'm going to start harping on you and asking you to do things that you really don't want to do, when there is somebody out there that wants to do that thing. Right. And so really finding someone that's emotionally regulated enough to know when they only want to do something because I'm doing it with someone else. Like, and that's okay. That's valid. That's valid. But can we joke about it? Can we laugh about it? Can you tell me so that way, okay, let me beat a big spoon for a little bit, make you feel a little better. That's fine. Like, I would rather us sit there in that vulnerable space. Tell me that you're jealous. It's okay.
Right.
There's head for that. Like, we can fix these things.
We can
solve these things. Like, I just feel like there's a level of positive toxicity that I'm okay with, which is like, because you do be jealous. You'd be like, I don't want to be jealous. As long as you're not a jealous person, be jealous. As long as you're not an envious person, you can have a little, you know, like, these things that you feel are natural, and it also reminds yourself that you care. Feelings tell you something.
Yep.
And how can we use this as a game? Like, how can we play on it? How can we, you know, now I'm not just feeding your ego, like, continuously, but let's play with these things and how can we get more comfortable? But I would love to know, have you guys had any bad experiences where it's just like, this was really difficult to get through? And like, how do you get through the disagreements, or either what is the thing that you guys maybe come up against the most, or the thing that you have to handle the most?
I think we've had definitely some difficult times. I wouldn't say anything that I've been through has been bad per se, but I went through a really bad breakup at the beginning of us being poly, and it was, I mean, it's not coming out my nose. And I mean, crying in the bed, depressed. And he had to be there for that. And I was the first one to experience a transition. And, you know, that's not something you typically do, right? If you're in a monogamous relationship, you're not consoling them about somebody else breaking their heart. So that was really, really difficult. And then the same thing happened to him, where he was going through a breakup that was really tough for him. But I would say the main thing that I come up against is, like I said, about men just wanting to have more of me than what I can actually give, just how my life is set up.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult because sometimes, you know, we might have chemistry with someone, but there's, like you said, the routine and the schedule, and there's only so much time I can do. So I need somebody who can kind of be self-managed and we can, you know, we can duck and move, stick and move and figure it out.
How is that? I want to know your answer as well, but I also, like, that definitely brought up a question of just
when she went through that breakup, it was early on, so we were still in a lot of firsts. Mm-hmm. She was the first person I dated, first person that had, like, this breakup. It was just a first. Like, I feel that I'm emotionally mature enough to handle it, but I didn't have words necessarily. It was just like leaning right here, like. I don't have the words because this is literally,
we don't know,
almost 40 years old, or probably 40 at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time, you know, we were still in that first year. And it was like, all right, well, all I got is like big spooning and hugging and vent, you know, talk to me like what you got going on. Like, I'll make you some soup, like whatever it is, you know, like because nobody, I have no example of that. Right. All I could do is show like compassion and empathy and grace for her to say, all right, well, a breakup is a breakup. I have daughters. Okay. So, I mean, I kind of think of it in the same way. If my daughter says, you know, 16-year-old, my heart's broken. I'm just going to hold her and tell her that it's going to be good.
So it hurts you to see her hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because whether I feel, no matter how I feel about the relationship, she is hurt by it. So whatever's going on. There's hurt there. Whether he thought that he did a thing or not, she's hurt. And because it's our first time, it's like, whew, did we do the right thing? Or is this a thing for us, right? Because it was so new. Like, am I gonna have to do this every, you know, 3 months? Like, is this gonna be crazy? Is it gonna be too much for her to handle if it happens again?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was unawares, like I didn't know what to do, but all I did was just like, let me just console. Like, if I had a words, I mean, I'm not going to go out and watch a football game. I'm going to just sit there and chill with her and hold her and until she's not as, like...
upset.
Yeah, upset about it.
I think it's difficult when you are with the partner and you realize they're not necessarily happy for you. They're, like, kind of just, like, allowing you to do what you do. And so then when you have hurt, they don't really have the compassion to give because they feel like you shouldn't have been out with that person anyway.
Right.
And that's... another thing, I've come up against a lot of people that they want to do it as long as it's done in a way that they can handle it. Mm-hmm. But you can't predict when there's going to be pain or if it's like, well, you shouldn't have been dating that person anyway. I never liked them anyway or things like that. And I think that that's something difficult to handle. I think that people definitely need to like almost have like a therapist or a counselor or a set communication way to process some of these things to make sure they're not, you know, backing up. But, have you had any experiences that were bad for you or?
Not that I would say were bad for me. I mean, I had a couple breakups. I had a couple, you know, a couple ghosting situations, a couple people just kind of disappear in your life. Just normal
dating
stuff.
Normal
dating stuff. Nothing serious. The longest relationship I've had was probably like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of fizzled. It didn't end on any crazy bad note. It just fizzled because our lives didn't match up the way, you know, we ideally would have wanted it. And we just let it fizzle. It's fine. You know, I don't have any, there aren't many partners that I can't just say what's up to, you know, if they're in town, I can't chill with. So I haven't had bad experience, just normal relationship stuff.
I had two bad experiences with couples. Like I told you, they treacherous. The first couple, it was difficult because during that time, I actually got a divorce while we were dating this couple. And it was totally unrelated, but we sat them down and was like, hey, this has nothing to do with you guys. Like, we've been trying to navigate whatever. And it was actually my ex-husband that encouraged me to still keep dating this guy. He was like, y'all have like a chemistry. You should keep dating him or with them or whatever. But the way that the wife treated me once I became a single woman was very different. And they ended up getting a divorce. And her story was, oh, he left me for Samaya. if you know anything about me, I'm going to tell the motherfucking truth. Okay. Like, I have told the truth about all the things. That's what my show is about telling the truth. And I was very clear with her. I was like, you know, first of all, I have the receipts. Mm-hmm. You're the best girlfriend he's ever had. That made me feel the most, you know, like, present. And, like, I have boundaries. Like, if you guys are arguing, I don't want to see you during that time. You know, I don't want to have sex with you during that time. Like, mm-hmm. I made those things clear from the jump, because at the end of the day, people are people, and how someone feels doesn't make them not polyamorous. It makes them a human. And mm-hmm. I have a thing for empathy. So if it's like, if you guys were having an argument, now if we already had a date set up or something like that, that's different, because you could be like, no, like, it's not that serious that mm-hmm. you guys can't do it. We had a little tiff earlier, things like that. But also being able to be a supporter of their relationship. Like, I'm a good ass girlfriend. You got me fucked up telling people I'm a girlfriend. And then once we get to a certain age, you know, there is nothing you can do to take someone from someone.
Exactly.
So trying to put that out, and then me being in sex education, that looked terrible, you know? So I was very clear, like, honey, I will air these receipts out. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. But that kind of thing. Don't blame, you know, polyamory or me for something simply because something happened. Especially when I went through a divorce first, I didn't blame you mm-hmm. because you had nothing to do with it. It was totally separate. So there was that. And then also I dated a couple, and one of their other partners did not have any integrity. And it was a deal breaker. I was like, if you're dealing with them, there's no way that we are on two different levels. Like, they're bottom feeders. Like, it doesn't look good for the collective. Like, you know, it doesn't look good for the collective. And then they were just, they were very fun.
Oh, so you had to give up your fun partner. Well, partners.
Yeah, it was my superficial dating experience as well. At that time, mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, I'm about to be outside. And I just, you know, I really wanted some dick. I wanted a summer fling. Mm-hmm. I wanted, you know, I really wanted three, you know, good threesomes are hard to find. And so, you know, having to go, I had a great time.
Well, that's
but
good.
Yeah, but I was like, I didn't really think it through. I didn't say what type of careers they need to have or the stability. It was, yeah. But I'm figuring it out. So
good.
But yes. Okay. So I want to know, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you think that maybe men have, Raheem, about, and of course everyone, but speaking from a man's point of view, it's very rare that you find a man that's just not into his ego. But at the same time, Virgos are very, like, you can't tell them shit about themselves. So mm-hmm. how do you keep those things from, like, not clashing, and, like, maybe some of the misconceptions people think, or the way that you reframe them in your mind, so that way it's like, see, this doesn't need to be a misconception. This is how you approach it.
Well, the biggest misconception is that I'm, like, having the time of my life. Like, all the time. I got my wife who's barefoot and pregnant and making all the meals and taking care of the kids, and I'm out there philandering, and I got 18 girlfriends. Like, that's the biggest misconception. Again, it is normal life, right? We're allowed to have other people in our lives, and that's the biggest, that's the joy about it. Like, you can still have your friend from high school. Mm-hmm. You know, you can still, you know, you can go out to a thing and meet a person and be a friend to that person that's of the opposite sex. Whereas in monogamy, it's looked at like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you met a woman?
Well, half of the world is them.
Right.
Right? I grew up with women. I was raised by women. And then I get married in a monogamous marriage, and now I can't have new women. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. And it just, you know, so the biggest misconception is that it's sex all the time, and, you know, I got girlfriends, and they just knocking my door down.
Drowning in pussy.
I'm having threesomes with my wife, and she's cool with it, and she ain't having sex with nobody. You know? So it goes from that one, like, all right, you're obviously having the best time of your life. And is your wife dating anybody? What the answer they want is, hell no. Because she knows what's up.
Right.
That's exactly what.
Right. That's what they want. That's what they want to hear. But the answer is, yeah, my wife dates. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anybody's asked me, has she fucked anybody? But the assumption is that she has.
That's what they want to know.
That's what they want to know. So, you know, the questions are leading to, like, are you cool with that?
Yeah.
And then I got to go into, you know, a deep rabbit hole. Is like, you know what? I've washed myself of that. Like, mm-hmm. I've washed myself. Like, I've had feelings about it, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning. I had to say, when she dated first, so when she went on her first date,
her being on that date, I had to sit in my little office desk and like, because I got married a certain way, even though I decided polyamory was the thing, but I still got married a certain way and I was raised a certain way.
And I'm picturing him in this office by himself.
And at the time, I had an office in our bedroom. So it was like, I'm just sitting, the bed's there, and I'm just like sitting in the room like, am I cool with this?
What the hell am I getting?
What are we getting?
Am I cool with this?
It also went mad fast. Like from the time that we, decided that we were going to be poly, I like had a man like the next day. So
it was like the next weekend. Very fast.
It was very fast. So we didn't have a lot of time to kind of.
So, but when she went on that date and she spent some time with someone else, and I just had to decide like, well, superficially or all of my ego, I was like, damn, it's different, obviously. But the second thing was like, you know what? I'm going to meet somebody in the next like week or so. And she going to have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, I ain't going trip because I'm definitely going date. Right?
I'm a trip because I don't want her to trip. Right. Exactly. That's so fair. That brings your logic, the logic back.
It brings it back. It's like, all right, I can't trip with her without giving her the same opportunity to feel the feels. And then we both can say yay or nay. Yeah. Like, I didn't feel you were out. When I was out, it was okay. But and then we can start talking about what we really feel. But I showed grace. I was like, you know what? After like that first initial date or time she was with someone else, I said, you know what? It's cool. I mean, I felt the feel. I had a couple feels.
Yeah.
But it was gone within like 36 hours.
You know, it's damn, that's a long time.
It was our first time.
Yeah. I think that one of the most difficult things for me was I used to come home from like a date and then like it felt like my husband didn't want to touch me. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. He ain't like me the best. Clearly, in the divorce. Mm-hmm, so it's like, which part was that? But I had to talk to him about that. Like, it's like I think there are certain things to watch, like being considerate of, like when someone goes out, just at that moment, I feel like your partner shifts into your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I cherish the most about polyamory is that I get to keep my friend. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times after you date, you don't stay friends anymore because now I kind of don't like you that much anymore if we have broken up. Not just because the relationship didn't work. This version of a relationship maybe didn't work. And so feeling like, you know, like I'm nasty or dirty or whatever, like anything that makes me feel like that, I have no desire to do. But also I think that being considerate and knowing how to communicate and, you know, hey, just give me a heads up that I'm going out, like not, you know, or we haven't spent no time, but then I'm about to go and spend all this time over here. And then like, you know, just being considerate of those things. What are some things that you guys are always like conscious of to not necessarily like pad your partner to make sure like they're good? Like, let me juice them up before I tell them I'm about to go out on a date. But like, what are some things that you guys do just to, help make that communication process smoother?
You know what? I am so happy to say that I think both of us, we had the opposite feeling that you had, because I love it when he comes home from a date and he is just beaming and like had a really, really good time. We've had some of our best times in our relationships when both of us were happy in other relationships. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, it's very freeing and empowering to me to feel like when I come home, he has open arms for me and wants to cuddle and wants to have that time with me. So for me, it hasn't really been a hard adjustment to watch him go out and come home. And I think we're both really respectful of each other when we are going to have time away from the house, that like if it's an overnight or going out on a vacation or something like that. And just making sure that when we come home, we are giving that person the energy and the love and the physical touch or whatever it is, the quality time that we need.
Not coming home depleted.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, damn, you're supposed to come back rejuvenated.
Exactly.
Damn. Same for you?
Yeah. I mean, there's been, you know, people you date that, I mean, not to compare, but, you know, I've had partners that I did come home happy and had a good time. And the other part, you know, you'd be like, did you go out? Like,
well, damn, well, y'all ain't have fun.
I can always tell. I can, I can tell.
It's like, so, that mother like energy, who I was spending time
with. I can. And I'm not, we're not in each other's business like that, but there's a certain bounce he has, you know, when he comes home from seeing a certain somebody. And then there was one woman that he dated, and I used to just be like, why you date her? Because you don't really like her like that. You come home like you had a tuna fish sandwich or something. Not about her. I'm just saying, just like,
the
like,
energy in general.
Yeah, just yeah. like the energy was just not there. And when he's like really happy with a woman, there is a energy about him that definitely rubs off on me. So, you know, I'm all about, like, I want him to have a good time. I don't want you to take time away from me or our son and our family unit to be outside arguing with somebody.
Yeah.
Like,
wrap that shit up.
Come on. Absolutely not. Like, come on home. Come on home. No. Yeah, we're not doing that.
I feel that. All right. So we are going to transition into our sex tip of the day. This is because we always got to make time for Sexual Essentials, which is my first company as a hands-on sexual educator. So you guys make sure that you check out Patreon, where we have the bonus show, which is Just Another Sex Podcast, as well as a lot of classes, hands-on demonstrations, conversations, and so much more, digging into all of the sexual intimate topics and things like that. So I already spoke with Mickey because we had our girl date.
I remember the other day. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, we were looking so great. We'll show you the pics. Mm-hmm. But since you're here, I need to know, how has your sexuality expanded since sex is no longer the focus, nor is it the prize necessarily anymore, because you have freedom to technically do whatever it is that you like. But in the midst of that, your main partner is not, you know, in the normal fashion, I guess, the traditional version of sex. How has that challenged, how has that changed your sexuality from a man's perspective?
I won't lie and say it hasn't been difficult. Mm-hmm. It's been difficult because, yeah, I have the freedom to mix it up, as it were, and learn and be outside the house and engage. But there are still things you want in your marriage, mm-hmm. in your house. So it is a challenge for me. However, to answer your question, I think it gives me the more opportunities to like see what people are doing in like kink spaces and, you know, play spaces, and figure out what it is that I'm into, as opposed to figuring out what we have to be into together. Mm-hmm. Because I've settled into being able to respect who she is and what her desires are, or not, and not blame her for that, and not make it about me. Yeah. So while it was difficult in the beginning, because you're like, all right, we got married in a certain way, and we're supposed to be a thing, right? Yeah. We're supposed to feel a certain way about each other. You're supposed to sacrifice your body for me.
That's what the rules say.
That's what it says, right?
That's what you agree to.
Give unto your husband, right?
Give me your pussy.
You know? Let me get to the yams. You know what I'm saying? So I slowly had to release that, because why am I fighting this? Especially, and then when we opened our relationship, it's like, you know what? I can release my wife from things that don't feel good to her. Not saying that is, always awesome, yeah. But it does, being able to explore has been really, I don't get to explore as much as I like to, but when I have the opportunity that I can be in this free, like, mind, I can have a free mind in doing these things and not.
And what are those things?
Well, I got a toe in. I've done some lifestyle stuff. I've been to a few play parties. Mm-hmm. I've done some rope classes. Mm-hmm. I forgot my rope. I know you guys talked about it.
He just wanted to make sure he could come back.
Yeah. So, and I'm very, I'm super novice. I've learned a couple little ties and little walk around.
All you need is two.
Yeah. I learned a couple things. I'm not hanging anybody from the, but I can tie your hands up behind your back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a creative dude, so I can make some stuff up on the fly.
Okay.
I don't know what the rules are, but I do have some rope. So I've learned that, and you know, I'm just absolutely more free. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm absolutely more free. I'm more free thinking because I'm not within the confines of like, all right, you can only be interested in this with your wife, mm-hmm. and you got to get her consent to be interested in this. And if she doesn't like it, then I can't explore it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really about the freedom. Even if I decide never to do a thing, the fact that I can look at something online and say, I might do that one day.
Yeah, your life doesn't necessarily end. All the experiences don't end.
Right.
You're allowed to keep living within your marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I can say yes to that, even if I never actually do it, without having to be like, well,
my wife will never she like that. She ain't never like that, so I can't do it. So I like the freedom and just having the choice, having the opportunity, the ability to do a thing, to explore a thing without.
And you know, it's so interesting to me, like when I tell people I'm asexual and they start talking to me about us being poly or our decision to be poly, I'm like, well, what would have been your solution? Because why do I have to give up what is good for me and to me because I found out my sexuality late?
Yeah.
And, you know, for just from a logical perspective to me, I was like, I got to figure out how I can be true to myself and also not feel like he's getting the short end of the stick, and you know? And I think that that was, it was a hard thing for me to come to on my own, but it was doubly hard realizing that this is something that he's going to have to deal with either. And we did not know that going into marriage.
Yeah, you didn't promise the pussy from the house.
Yeah, you know, I was prepared for long suffering here. But you know, I just really think that where I'm coming from is about being open to figuring out what works for the people in the marriage, not just putting the marriage above all things and not really having a marriage that supports the people in it.
Absolutely.
You know, figuring out how to do that.
And what's crazy is that you could end up not being able to have sex for a number of reasons.
Exactly.
The difference is that you're looking for the proof. Like, show me what's wrong with it. Why can't you use
what
it?
What the doctor said.
The doctor said it worked just fine.
Right,
like,
right.
That's the thing. And I think just believing your partner again. And like, as a woman, I couldn't imagine how safe it feels to be believed.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
There are people that come through here and don't believe me when I say, hey, this is how it needs to be shot or whatever. And it's like, this is my job.
Right.
Like, you know, it's people that don't believe me when I tell them this is how sex works. Yo, this is my job. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, even in trauma, it's like, hey, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. You have to believe me. Like, just there's so many different areas of life where I feel like as a woman, I'm just not believed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's I'm glad you don't have to have that heaviness. Like, I love that for you.
Yes.
So what does turn you on? What keeps the wheel spinning? Because there's a lot of communication that has to happen here. Mickey told us about some of the tantric breathing, the rope. The rope has a very like meditative thing, like when you just watch like that process.
I love it.
People that are into rope play are usually like real sapiosexual type people because it's not necessarily about the like physical intercourse. So
right.
I want to know what are your things? Because you gave me the very like professional answer and I appreciate that, but it's the sex tip of the day and we got to go. So give me the hot stuff.
All right. If we get going,
we're going
all the
into, end, there your drink right there if you need it. You
that's
know.
Fair. That's fair.
So we're here to support you.
I like very, very free women, slutty,
big purr.
All that. I love slutty women. I say slutty in like just free, just owning their sexuality, and I'm really big on desire. Like that's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Like I need to be desire to engage in any aspect. Like I can't pay for it. I don't like strip clubs. I don't care if the woman that I love,
I don't want it assigned to me.
Yeah,
right.
I don't care if Rihanna's my jam. If she had a picture online with all the stuff showing, it wouldn't mean anything to me unless she texted me that picture.
You like to be chosen. You like
I need
consent.
To be chosen.
You need
it is very important
that.
To me. So if you are all those things that I like, plus you chose me, that is all the things for me. Right. That's very important to me.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. Your wife has chosen you in so many ways and even was willing to choose you in a way that didn't choose herself. So I think one of the things, like when I'm listening to people talk and they explain their polyamory, I love when it all comes together as a full circle because it's like, no, I need double this. It, like, it's not like he's like, no, I love when women don't want to have sex. No, it's like, okay, I have this at home. And then it's like, when you hear someone's preference, it's like, that makes sense. So now you have more than one thing. And I think that understanding what it is that you want that's different from at home is good. So that way you're not oversaturated and can have more longevity and it actually fits, not just, I want to try everything at the candy store and you're doing all these things that's not really what you desire. Like
what's really important for me is because the reality is my home life is set up a certain way and I show grace to my wife for that. But it balance is super important as well.
mm-hmm. right? I mean, I can't have all the sex I want to have. I mean, I need my personal time. I got a son. I got to work and everything. But I still, the main part is to find balance for some of the things that I, you know, generally will want across the board. So finding balance is the key thing. And I don't know all the things that I like.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not the actual the physical act of having sex. It's just the energy of finding the things that I'm into that's going to satisfy me. I don't mm-hmm. care if it's just, you know, just being a voyeur, right? Yeah. Going to play parties and being a voyeur. If that, like that, that'll create the balance that I need for me. So it's not always the physical part.
For sure.
I'm really into the rope situation. So, you know, I'm taking classes, not taking classes, but I'm interested and that's on the docket to do that. But just to have those experiences.
Okay. All right. So before we let you guys go, we always end the show with a spiritual tip of the day, similar to the adult tip of the day. I think spirituality as a whole includes religion. It includes your ancestors. It includes crystals and energy. And just as we matriculate into finding ourselves, I think that we start using different words that have never been heard, or like, it's like, why are you talking like that? And we don't remember to kind of like explain to people, like, this is why I say this, or this is how this works. So that way people don't have to be so resistant to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately we can find more like leeway to grow when we have more, you know, more of the spirit, explaining some of the spiritual stuff. So we break down one little thing a day. Okay. So today is an astrology tip. And it talks about Lilith. So in your birth chart, you can pull your birth chart with your date of birth, time, and the location. And Cafe Astrology is a good app, or Time Passages. And I want to talk about Lilith in your chart. So Lilith is your dark moon. Mm-hmm. And astrologers call Lilith the dark moon. And in many ways, she is your inner bitch, the part of you that rises up in anger when your boundaries are crossed. Your Lilith sign and house placement can show how sexually self-authorized you are, but also where you may get caught up in obsessive affairs. She will also reveal how you defy conventions or push back against the patriarchy. So basically, with Lilith, it's like the story that goes with it is that before there was Adam there and Eve, there was Lilith. Mm-hmm. And then God was like, oh, I'm gonna send you a man to like whatever. And she was like, send me a man to do what? Like, and so Lilith has always just been your inner bad bitch. And men have one and women have one. It's basically who you would be if you could be mm-hmm. anybody, mm-hmm. and who you are when somebody tries the fuck out of you. Who are you? So I wanted to share mine, as an example, and then hopefully you guys look up yours and find out something about you. But my Lilith is in Aquarius. So it says, I'm gonna skip over some of this shit because it's kind of long. All right. In your, let's see what mine is. Okay. So Black Moon, Lilith, and Aquarius. If you have this placement in your natal chart, you are an extremely individualistic person. You want to maintain your independence at any price. What, needless to say, makes relationships hard for you. Well, damn.
probably read it before.
Oh, right. You know. The element air is impossible to tie down, and those with Aquarius placements need freedom like they need to breathe. Black Moon Lilith in Aquarius indicates that you don't know how to establish intimate relationships and how to be close to someone. Emotions are on the back burner. It can feel like your soul is locked up. You don't really get attached to people. As children, many Lilith and Aquarius people were different in some way. The odd one who can't fit in. This placement can even suggest being adopted or having unusual genetic heritage. As a child, perhaps you have learned that trusting others can get you seriously hurt, perhaps experience traumatic betrayal. Black Moon Lilith in Aquarius suggests that you are fascinated by things outside of your everyday reality. You dislike boredom and desire surprising new experiences. Alternatively, this placement can manifest as rejecting everything unusual, but more often it suggests that you want to escape the grayness of everyday life. You prefer risky situations. Lilith in Aquarius is often into unusual stuff when it comes to sexuality. Mind your business. People with this placement are often promiscuous. Mind your business. They find freedom in sex, but they don't like to be restricted by a traditional relationship. This placement can indicate commitment issues. The rest of the chart is also important here, but marriage is not something for Lilith. I think we're going to end there. Yeah. My red. Jesus.
Yeah.
My gosh.
It's coming for you a little bit. I gotta read the rest of it. I was like, God damn, I'm not selling it, am I? But what's so ironic about that, and I think, yes, the rest of the chart does play out. I am not crazy, you guys. I am very lovable and I can commit. But so many of those things also are true. I think I am all of those things within being traditional. You know, so yeah, I do want a marriage. I just want a marriage that's gonna let me do all of those things,
right?
And so you guys have heard the show. I have a very dark background, you know. I have a very dark past, and so yeah, I don't be trusting motherfuckers, and you know. But at the same time, I trust myself, and because I trust myself, it allows me to experience trust that way, as an avenue. And yeah, sexually, I do like trying a lot of things, but at the same time, I don't need something different every damn day. Like, I'm 31. I'm getting older. I'm getting older. And, you know, I don't need to hang from the rafters every night, but I need to know that, like, there is a desire to, like, be inquisitive about my body. Like, it's a experiment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do you like it or not? Like, you know, so I am that way. So you guys have heard the show. So yeah, I know some of that shit is absolutely true. So make sure you check out yours. And everybody's Lilith is a dark side. So take it with a grain of salt, and understand the rest of your chart plays a part. But again, your Lilith is who you would be if nobody was watching, if you didn't have to abide by any types of rules, who you are at your core when you're most, you know, like, I guess just free. And then add all the other stuff on it. So your Lilith doesn't really come out all the time, but it's just like you on vacation. Think of you like that. Yeah. And also like your warrior, I guess, in you. So, I've also looked at my Lilith before, and it's like a protector of women and children. I'm very much so a protector of women and children. So it tell you a little something. Make sure you read it before you read it to somebody else. So, thank you guys so much for coming and having some mimosas with me here this morning. Please let the folks know where they can find you guys, how we can support you all, and when your show is coming out, so that way we can support you all, you know?
You are forcing this show on us.
This is my job. I do it well.
Coming in 2024.
Okay, claiming it.
Go ahead and claim it. We are at The Poly Couple Next Door on IG, and our website is The Poly Couple Next Door as well. And you can support us by going to give us a follow, going to our website. We have a form on our website if anyone is interested in coaching. So you can find us there.
Okay. I also saw you guys did a poly meetup.
We did. Okay. Yes. We just had a brunch a week ago.
Were the people cute?
Yes.
They was fine.
Yes. They were cute.
Okay.
And we're trying to really get into doing more live events.
That's crazy because the content house here does events. That's so
crazy. That's so crazy.
I'm just here to do my job.
We'll be here. I know. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
No, I would love to have you guys do an event here. Yes. I think that the ambiance is great. Like, a lot of things in lifestyle and sex work are giving bottom basement. Yeah. Basement. And I'm sorry, but I need the luxury.
You gotta figure out the parking. Right.
Look here. The house is open bar, so we always encourage people to Uber.
That's right. There you go. Uber.
Ah, you love what we did there. I love it. Worked on the spin of things. Yes. But you know, if anybody wants to sponsor, so we can, you know, gravel out, you know, like some more cement, a little more parking, let us know. But okay. Well, thank you guys for coming by. You guys, please make sure that you check the links below, so that way you can follow and support them, and make sure that you check out Patreon. We are having them come back on Just Another Sex Podcast, whether together, separate, rope, no rope, you know, some dom things. You know, it's a discussion for sure. We want to see all two of those ties, okay?
Yeah. I'm gonna be skilled when I come back.
Right, the practice.
We actually had someone teach. Her name is Shang. She taught her and her partner. Like, he's a videographer, and she is like in OnlyFans and different things like that. And so she came on and taught us three different beginner ties, and then he did a class teaching us how to make porn from home, like how to actually edit it and the angles that make it like look a certain way. Join Patreon, y'all. Look here. It has all the things on there. Because if you don't remember your sex life, that's okay. That's what I do. When you subscribe, like, it's a reminder, because we're putting out things and we're like, hey, have you tried this? So just by going in and logging to the app once a day, you're already being intentional. You don't have to have the plan. You just got to know somebody with the plan.
There you go.
And $15.
yeah. So
worth it.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Please make sure that you rate, review, share a reel, all that good shit. Drop us in your group chats. I love you guys. And we will see you next week.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of this episode. Thank you for keeping an open mind and joining me in creating a safe place for others to share their truth. Make sure that you're following Not Just Another Sex Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. But also, if you want to keep the conversation going, make sure that you follow us on Instagram, Not Just Another Sex Pod, as well as sexual.essentials. Don't forget to sign up to my Patreon. The link is in the description of this episode. Not only do you get access to my personal life through my close friends and things like that, but I also have almost 300 classes, workshops, private group chats, hands-on demonstrations, interviews, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want more from me, then that's absolutely where you need to be. If you would like to support this podcast, make sure that you rate and review, and make sure that you share this episode with your family and friends. I'll see you next week.